lullaby created just for her. Was that because of Indra? But if Indra was her dad, that made Aru a reincarnation of Arjuna, the greatest warrior. She wasn't anything like him. Arjuna was good and honorable and perfect. Almost, Aru thought, to the point of excess. Her mother had once told her a story about how Arjuna was so honorable that he agreed to a 12-year exile in the forest just to keep his word. Like lots of ancient rulers, the kings of India had more than one wife. But it was a lot more unusual for a wife to have more than one husband, and yet that was the case in the tale of Draupadi, the virtuous and beautiful princess who married all five Pandava brothers. She spent a year as the wife of each. That made more sense to Aru than the alternative. Imagine walking in your front door, calling out, "Honey, are you home?" and hearing, "Yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear." But it was a rule among the five brothers that she couldn't barge in on Draupadi's privacy when she was with her husband of the year. One day, Arjuna was called to fight off a bunch of demons. He had to answer the call because that's what heroes do. The only problem was, he'd left his special bow and arrow in the dining room where Princess Draupadi was eating with one of his brothers. The penalty for barging in on their privacy was exile. Rather than let innocent people get hurt by demons, Arjuna chose to break the rule. And that's why he had to go into the forest for 12 years. Aru hated that story. The exile was completely unnecessary. His brother and Draupadi even forgave Arjuna when he explained that he just had to get his bow and arrow. And why did he even go into the dining room? He could have just knocked on the door and shouted, "Bro, I left my bow and arrow. Could you hand them to me?" It'd be like asking a friend to pass you some toilet paper under the stall if you're in a pinch. But Arjuna didn't do that. Supposedly, this was a good thing. To Aru, it was just a bad use of time. Aru stared up at the statue. She might not be anything like Arjuna, but maybe having the King of the Heavens as your dad wasn't a bad thing when you've accidentally triggered the end of the world. Around her, the net of lightning vanished. In its place floated a golden orb, no bigger than a ping pong ball. Curious, she plucked it out of the air and turned it over in her hands. "The heck is this?" But it was right about then she heard Minnie let out a sob. Aru turned to see Minnie sitting on a cloud, clutching her backpack to her chest. The statue of Dharma Raja had moved and now loomed above her. The Danda stick had been thrown from his hand, shattering the arrows headed toward Minnie. "Death," she whispered. "I'm the daughter of death?" In all honesty, Aru thought that sounded pretty cool. Imagine walking into a party and announcing, "I am the daughter of death." You would almost certainly be guaranteed the first slice of cake. Plus, that would be the only appropriate time to use the brattiest phrase ever. "Wait till my father hears about this." But Minnie's eyes welled with tears. "This ruins everything. I thought I'd be the daughter of one of the Ashwin twins. The daughter of the god of medicine. What medical school is going to accept me if I'm the daughter of death?" She rocked back and forth, crying. A shadow cut across Aru. She looked up to see Boo circling them. There was something strange about his shadow, though. It didn't look like the kind of shadow cast by a pigeon. It was massive. Boo flew to Aru's shoulder. He glanced at her, then at Minnie. Then he did it again. Boo was not subtle about his hint. "Go forth and comfort." Sighing, Aru walked over slowly. She crouched at Minnie's side and placed a hand on her shoulder. "What?" Minnie sniffled. Aru thought about what she normally did to cheer herself up. She'd try to change the situation in her head, look at it differently. It's not so bad, said Aru. In the stories, Yudhisthira was the son of the Dharma Raja, and no one ran away from him. Everyone went to him for advice, because he was really wise and just and all that. He was a really good king, too. And maybe as a doctor, you'll be even better because you're the daughter of death. Maybe you'll be able to tell faster when things are going wrong. Because you'll be able to sense death, like a dog. Minnie's head lifted. Aru went on. Think about it. You'll be able to save so many more people. You'll be the best doctor. Minnie sniffed again. You think so? Maybe? Definitely, said Aru. It's all about what you do with what you have. Right, Boo? Boo huffed. See? Boo thinks so too. And he'd never lie. He's like our sworn guardian and all that. He wouldn't try to steer you wrong. At this, something in Boo's expression retreated. He hung his head a little. True, he said softly. Minnie stood up. She flashed a little smile. Without warning, she flung her arms around Aru and squeezed her tight, managing to catch a little of Boo's wing. He squawked. She squeezed tighter. Thank you, she said. Aru stood extremely still. She'd never been thanked, let alone hugged, after telling a lie. But maybe she hadn't lied at all. Maybe it wasn't lying as much as it was applying some imagination, looking at something from a different angle. That wasn't such a bad thing. And maybe this kind of thinking could actually help her make friends instead of lose them? Aru hugged her back. Thunder boomed in the sky. Aru and Minnie jumped apart. The statues of the Pandavas' soul fathers disappeared, and the court of the sky rematerialized. Urvashi and Hanuman were perched at the edge of their thrones, their eyes wide. So it is true, then, said Urvashi, her voice soft with awe. They're really... I mean, it is truly them.
The Pandavas have been awakened to do battle once more, said Hanuman, rubbing his chin.
Not all of them, said Urvashi, staring at Aru and Minnie. Only the reincarnated souls of Arjuna and Yudhisthira.
For now, said Hanuman darkly. If the sleeper isn't stopped, the rest will wake up too.
Aru glanced beneath her feet, where the world was nothing more than a blur of trees and rivers. Somewhere out there were other people with Pandava souls. What were they doing? Were they frozen? Did they have some idea of who they really were, like Minnie? Or were they like her, completely clueless?
The others will only awaken as needed. With increasing darkness comes answering light, said Boo. Even in chaos, the world will seek balance.
Is this the part where you say, do or do not, there is no try? Asked Aru. Boo scowled.
If the sleeper is going to try and wake up the Lord of Destruction, he'll need the celestial weapons, said Hanuman. Do you know what that means, Pandavas?
We should break all the weapons so the sleeper can't use them? Aru responded at the same time that Minnie said, We have to get them before he does? Or that, said Aru. Hanuman regarded them somberly.
The daughter of death speaks true.
It took a moment for Aru to remember that daughter of death meant Minnie. So what would that make her?
Daughter of thunder. Aru noted grumpily. Sounded like a fancy name for a horse.
Before I tell you of your quest, show me what gifts the gods have given you, said Urvashi. Gods willing, they will ease the pain of your journey.
Gifts?
Then Aru remembered the golden ball that had appeared when Indra's lightning net vanished. She drew it out of her pajama pocket, You mean this?
Urvashi's lip curled in distaste.
Minnie rummaged in her backpack and pulled out a small purple compact. This showed up when...
She choked on the words, Dharma Raja.
Claimed me.
A plaything. And a mirror, observed Urvashi. She turned to Hanuman.
Didn't heroes used to get fine steeds? Or battle armor? Swords even?
Was Aru overreacting? Or was that a definite look of concern on Hanuman's face?
Lord Indra and the Dharma Raja are... enigmatic, he said.
Minnie frowned. What's that mean?
I think it means they've got flaky skin, said Aru.
You're thinking of eczema.
It means, said Hanuman loudly, that your fathers are mysterious, but always for a reason. These gifts from them are intended to help you in your quest.
Aru felt ridiculous. What good was a ball against a demon? That was like trying to stop an avalanche with a spoon.
There's your proof, said Urvashi. Perhaps it means the gods do not wish the world to be saved.
Or, squawked Boo, it could mean that this time we need a different kind of hero. Heroine, corrected Minnie under her breath. Heroes, heroines. Was that really what Aru was? Or was she just someone who made an epic mistake and had to do something epic to fix it? Urvashi had a faraway look in her eye. Her mouth was pressed into a tight line. But a moment later, her shoulders dropped and she lifted her chin.
Very well. Come closer, children, to hear your quest.
Aru and Minnie shuffled forward. The air kept them aloft. Wind rushed up and wrapped around them, and Aru shivered. This no longer felt like a fun roller coaster. The moment she'd seen that sparkling net cast by the god Indra, her heart had turned heavy. In theory, a quest sounded awesome, but in reality, a whole lot of lives hung in the balance. Maybe that's why superheroes wore capes. Maybe they weren't actually capes at all, but safety blankets, like the one Aru kept at the bottom of her bed and pulled up under her chin before she went to sleep. Maybe superheroes just tied their blankies around their necks so they'd have a little bit of comfort wherever they went. Because honestly, saving the world was scary. No harm admitting that. And she could have done with her blankie right about then. Urvashi leaned out of her throne.
The sleeper needs the celestial weapons to free the Lord of Destruction. You must awaken the weapons before he does. To do so, you must go to the Kingdom of Death. Within the Kingdom of Death lies the Pool of the Past. Look inside the pool, and you will discover how the sleeper can be vanquished once and for all.
Scary kingdom, sleepy weapons, weird pool. Got it. Okay, let's get this over with, said Aru. So where's the door to the kingdom? Is there an entrance here? Or maybe...
Normally you get to the Kingdom of Death by dying, said Urvashi.
Aru and Minnie exchanged nervous glances.
Eeny, meeny, started Minnie. At the same moment, Aru shouted, Nose goes! She smacked her nose.
Minnie turned pale.
Oh no!
Children, said Urvashi, holding up her palm.
There is a way to open up the door of death without dying.
You'll need 3 keys, but they are hidden and need to be found. The first key is a sprig of youth. The second key is a bite of adulthood. And the third key is a sip of old age.
Aru stared at Urvashi. Okay. So which aisle of Home Depot do we go to? Minnie laughed, but it was a panicked, I am definitely gonna die kind of laugh.
This map will help you, said Urvashi.
Merely touch the symbol of the key, and you will be transported somewhere close to it. But from there,
It is up to you to find and claim the real key.
Urvashi opened her hands. Aru hadn't noticed until now that images covered Urvashi's skin from the tips of her fingers all the way up to her elbows. It was Mendi, a design made from the powdered leaves of the henna plant. They were temporary tattoos that women wore during celebrations, like weddings and festivals. But this design was unlike anything Aru had ever seen. For one thing, it was moving. On Urvashi's wrist, a branch sprouted blossoms. The sprig of youth. A book opened and closed on the side of her hand. The bite of adulthood. A wave of water washed across her fingers. The sip of old age. But the very center of her palm was blank.
You have 9 days until the new moon, Pandavas. Less than that, perhaps, for time runs differently here than in the mortal realms, said Urvashi. Stop the sleeper from stealing the celestial weapons. Find out how he may be defeated from the pool of the past, and then you will receive Pandava training from the entire council.
She paused to toss her hair over her shoulder.
Myself included. People would kill for the chance to be in my presence. In fact, they have.
She smiled.
Succeed, and your disgraced guardian can even rejoin the council.
Boo shuffled from foot to foot on Aru's shoulder.
They'll succeed. I know it, he said. They have me to guide them, after all. And I was illustrious.
Was, said Urvashi.
Ignoring Boo, she grabbed Aru's hands, then Minnie's. When Aru looked down, the same Mendi map was covering her own skin.
There, she said. Your map. Fight well.
For the first time, Urvashi's smile turned warm. But there was something sad about it. She folded her legs beneath her and tucked her hands into her lap. She looked so vibrant and beautiful that it was hard to believe she'd been present in all the ancient stories. Aru knew that Urvashi had not only trained heroes. She'd loved them. She'd even married one and had kids with him. But they were mortal. She must have outlived them.
So young, Urvashi murmured. It is not right.
And with that, she disappeared. Hanuman looked between Aru and Minnie.
The daughter of Lord Indra and the daughter of the Dharmaraja? Daunting, indeed. Before you leave the court of the sky, there is something I'd like to tell you.
Daunting? That seemed like a good thing? At least she hoped so. Last year, everyone in homeroom took the Divergent quiz on BuzzFeed, and she got Dauntless as her faction, which apparently meant she was brave and courageous. So, yay? And if Hanuman, the Hanuman, thought they were daunting, maybe it wasn't so bad. But then she looked down at her hand with the three symbols of the absurd keys. How exactly does one take a sip of old age? And her stomach turned. Nope. Still bad. Hanuman opened his paws. A small sun hovered above his palm. It burned so bright that Aru wished she had sunglasses.
When I was young, I mistook the sun for a fruit. Got in a lot of trouble for that, he said, sounding more pleased with himself than guilt-ridden. I clashed with a planet and threw off a scheduled eclipse. Your father Indra was so mad that he used his famous lightning bolt to strike me down from the sky. It hit me in the side of the face, which is how I earned the name Hanuman, or Prominent Jaw.
He stroked it, smiling at the memory.
I used to play pranks on the priests, too, so they cursed me.
He went on.
It was a tiny curse, the kind designed for mischievous immortal children.
They punished you with a curse? Asked Minnie.
just for being a kid? Added Aru. That didn't seem very fair.
They said I would never remember how strong and powerful I am until someone reminded me, said Hanuman. Sometimes I wonder if it is a curse that we are all under at some point or another.
The small sun in his palms vanished. He patted their heads lightly. With a final nod at Boo, the monkey demigod disappeared. Now it was just the three of them, and an expanse of empty sky.
Come along, Pandavas, said Boo. The map will guide us to the location of the first key. From there, it's up to you.
Aru touched the image of the first key, the blossoming twig on her wrist. She felt a tug in her stomach. Her breath caught. One blink later, the three of them stood in the parking lot of a strip mall. Where were they?
It didn't look like Atlanta.
Snow frosted the bare branches of the few spindly trees. Only a couple of cars and loading vans were parked there. A shop girl dropped her cigarette when she saw them. But if she thought it strange that two people and a pigeon had materialized out of nowhere, she didn't say anything. Aru felt a rush of relief. If the shop girl was still moving, it meant that the sleeper hadn't caught onto their path. Yet.
Oh no, said Minnie. What's wrong? Asked Aru.
Minnie held up her hand. At the center of her palm, there was a symbol.
It's the number of days you have left until the new moon, said Boo grimly.
It is? Asked Aru, looking at her own palm sideways.
That's a weird-looking nine.
It's in the Sanskrit language, said Boo.
Minnie peered at her hand.
Ashta, she said slowly. The number eight.
Goosebumps fluttered down Aru's arm. They'd already lost a day.
How do you know that? She asked, feeling a little jealous. I taught myself how to count to 10 in 15 languages, said Minnie proudly.
Sounds like a waste of time.
Even Boo nodded. Minnie glared at both of them.
Well, it's pretty useful right this minute, seeing as how we now know we only have 8 days left until the world freezes over and time stops.
Aru straightened her shoulders. A cold wind tangled in her hair. She felt that sticky sense of being watched. Boo, what happens if the sleeper finds us before we find the weapons? Boo pecked at the sidewalk.
Oh. Well, he kills you.
Minnie whimpered. Note to self, thought Aru. Never go on a quest again.
10. A Trip to the Beauty Salon. It took Minnie a full 5 minutes before she could say another word.
Kill us? She squeaked.
He's a demon, Minnie, said Aru. What do you think he's going to do? Sit you down for tea? Boo hopped along the sidewalk, gathered a pebble in his beak, flew up, and dropped it on Minnie's head.
Ow!
Good. You felt pain. Relish it, girl child. That's how you know you're not dead, said Boo. Not yet, anyway. And you?
He glowered at Aru.
Careful with that sharp tongue.
Aru rolled her eyes. She'd only been pointing out the obvious.
Can't he just find his own way into the kingdom of death? Asked Aru. Why does he have to follow us around?
This demon sounded lazy. He cannot see what you can, said Boo.
What if he tries to attack us in the meantime? Asked Minnie. We don't have anything to defend ourselves with.
That wasn't exactly true. They each had a gift. Aru opened her hand where the golden ping pong ball sat. It didn't look like it would do anything remarkable. She threw it onto the ground. Instantly, it bounced back into her hand. Aru frowned. She threw it farther. Still, it came back. Then she tossed it across the street, where it rolled straight into the gutter. A blink later, it was in her hand. Okay, that's a little cooler, but still useless in a fight against a demon.
Give thanks anyway, scolded Boo.
Thanks, universe, said Aru. Even if I die, at least I can be buried with this ball attached to my hand.
Not buried, said Minnie. Wouldn't you be cremated? I guess that depends on if you want to follow Hindu burial practices.
Not helping, Minnie.
You never know what might turn out to be handy when you need it most, said Boo.
It looked like he was going to say something else, but then Minnie squeaked.
Whoa,
she said, staring at the compact she'd gotten from the Dharma Raja. Envy flared through Aru. Did Minnie's gift actually do something magical? Why didn't hers?
What's it showing you? She asked. A zit, said Minnie, pushing her nose to one side.
What? That's it?
It means I'm growing up.
Or it means bad hygiene, teased Aru.
Or that, said Minnie.
She looked far less excited when she closed the compact. So we have a mirror and a glowing ball, said Aru.
Yes, said Boo.
To fight monsters.
Yes.
Honestly, what was the point of being a demigod if this was all they got? The shiny weapons were half the appeal anyway. And where was her majestic steed? She'd feel a lot better if she at least had a cape.
Perhaps you will not need any additional weapons to get all three keys, said Boo.
And if we do? Asked Minnie. Boo's feathers shivered.
If you do, then I must take you to the Night Bazaar.
Night Bazaar? That sounds awesome, thought Aru.
Assuming we survive getting the first key, said Minnie.
That thought was less awesome. Minnie looked around at their surroundings.
If this is where Urvashi's Mendi map led us, then the first key should be somewhere around here. But why would anyone hide a key to the Kingdom of Death in a strip mall?
The three of them looked around the parking lot. There was a Chinese takeout place and a dry cleaning store. Also a Starbucks that was missing some letters in its sign, so it read, Stabs. Aru's gaze fell on a sign that was a little brighter than the rest. Beauty salon. You'll be so hot, you'll burst into flames. The longer Aru looked at the sign, the brighter the Mendi version of the first key glowed. Beside her, Minnie wiggled her fingers.
Is your map glowing brighter? Maybe it works like a homing device, said Minnie, poking at the sprig of youth design on her wrist.
Only one way to find out, said Aru. We have to go inside. Minnie gulped loudly but nodded, and they made their way to the salon. Light rippled around the edges of the storefront. It looked like a year-round Halloween store, with a few stray ghost decorations on the window and a rotting pumpkin by the entrance. Masks of screaming women hung from the roof. Their elongated faces and gaping mouths reminded Aru of that Edvard Munch painting her art teacher had once shown the class.
This place feels off, said Minnie, pressing closer to Aru. And do you smell that?
She did. A sharp, acrid scent, like overheated rubber or charred leaves. She wrinkled her nose and covered her face with her sleeve.
It smells like something was burned, said Aru.
Or someone. Minnie made little goggles with her hands and pressed her face against the door.
I can't see anything, she whispered.
The door was a dark mirror. Aru wondered if it was a two-way one that let people on the other side see you, while you only saw your reflection, Aru had learned about those the hard way. 2 weeks ago, she had looked in the mirrored door to the teacher's lounge to see if there was something up her nose. A teacher had coughed quietly on the other side and said, "Dear, you're free of boogers. Trust me, I can see quite clearly." Aru had been mortified. But now she didn't feel mortified. She felt a strange twinge of cold run up and down her spine. The air crackled and popped like logs in a bonfire. The hairs at the back of her neck lifted. A light shone from her pajama pants pocket. The ping pong ball was glowing. Engraved on the door was Madam B. Asura, head stylist. Aru knew that name. But why? Boo, when we open the door, you can't act like, well, yourself, said Aru. And what is that supposed to mean? Retorted Boo. You've got to act like a pigeon, or you'll blow our cover. You want me to stay outside? I'll prop the door open, said Minnie. She pulled a piece of biscotto from her backpack, crumbled it up, and threw it on the ground. Here you go, Birdie.
I do not eat off the ground.
That bitter taste of smoke filled Aru's nostrils. I do not care, she whispered back. Now stay here and be a good pigeon while we investigate. A bell jingled as Aru opened the door. The girls slipped inside. Minnie left the door slightly ajar so Aru could see one beady pigeon eye peering through the crack behind them. The room was a bright lapis blue. Aru touched the wall gently and found it cold and hard. It was made of gems. Panels of mirrors formed the ceiling and floor. Big, comfy salon chairs lined the walls. But instead of a mirror in front of each chair, there was a portrait. Each one was of a beautiful woman. And yet, they didn't look very happy. Because they were frozen in the middle of screaming, just like the masks on the roof. The line of salon chairs seemed endless. There had to be as many as 70 pictures of screaming women.
Nope, 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 said Minnie. This doesn't look right.
How can I help you, girls?
From the end of the room, Aru saw a lovely woman walking toward them. Urvashi had been beautiful in the way a rose was beautiful. The mind was already trained to find it exquisite. But this woman was beautiful in the way that a bolt of lightning shattering the sky was beautiful. Almost scary, definitely striking. She was slim and tall, with shiny black hair that was piled in soft curls on the top of her head. When she smiled, Aru saw a crescent of sharp teeth behind her red lipstick.
Did you come here for a haircut?
No, said Minnie.
Aru elbowed her in the ribs and said, We didn't mean to, but we could get one? Aru wanted to spend more time with the stunning woman. Just being around her made her feel entranced. She had an overwhelming desire to please this person.
No way, said Minnie firmly, reaching for Aru's arm.
What's wrong with you? Muttered Aru, yanking her arm away. The woman just wanted to cut their hair. Plus, she was so pretty. We need to look around anyway.
Business has been a little slow, said the woman.
Now she was standing right in front of them.
I'm Madam B. What are your names, lovely girls?
Minnie,
said Minnie, her voice getting squeaky. She wasn't looking at the woman. Her eyes were on the wall.
Aru.
Pretty names, crooned Madam B. Usually I only cut older women's hair. Their beauty is a little more, well,
potent. She grinned. It has steeped longer, like tea, and therefore it lasts longer. Here, have a seat.
She ushered them to two of the empty salon chairs.
I'll only be a moment, said Madame B. Just need to get some supplies from the back.
Before she left, she smiled. It made Aru feel like she'd eaten a stack of waffles, rather warm and syrupy, and sleepy.
Look, hissed Minnie. She grabbed Aru's face and turned it toward the wall.
The woman in the nearest portrait was still screaming, but there was something else. Her eyes. They were moving. Following Minnie and Aru. Another cold twinge coursed through Aru, waking her up.
She trapped these women, Aru, whispered Minnie. We've got to get out of here.
Aru slid out of her chair. Minnie was right. But there was another problem. The first key has to be here, said Aru. She held up her hand, where the design glowed brighter and brighter. We have to find the sprig of youth before we leave. The girls scanned the room. It was pristine. With the mirrors on the ceiling and floor, they should have been able to find it easily. But they didn't see anything that looked like the Mendy design.
It's got to be around here somewhere, said Minnie.
Why couldn't the gods have given us more useful gifts? Grumbled Aru. She couldn't call Indra Dad. It was too weird. Minnie took out her compact. When she opened it, a strange thing happened. In the small mirror, Aru saw an alternate version of the room they were standing in. The walls were studded not with gemstones, but with bone fragments. Instead of a polished floor, they stood on packed dirt. And when Minnie angled the compact to reflect the portraits of screaming women, the paintings revealed something very different. Skulls.
The compact sees through enchantments, said Minnie in awe.
A sound made them jump. They both looked up to see Madame B coming toward them, carrying a small tray that held two miniature jars.
Had to find small vessels for your ashes, she said, grinning.
Aru and Minnie glanced at the compact. Where there had been a beautiful woman, now they saw Madame B for what she really was. An Asura. A demon. Her hair wasn't lovely black locks, but coils of fire. Her teeth weren't teeth at all, but tusks that curled up and out from thin black lips. Her skin wasn't a dusky shade of amber, but a pale and sickly white. And there was something at the top of her head. A fancy blue hair clip? No, a twig with tiny blue blossoms. Minus the color, it was identical to the design on their Mendy maps. It was the sprig of youth. The first key to the kingdom of death.
11. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
What are you doing out of your chairs, children? Asked Madame B.
Minnie gulped loudly. The compact closed with a sharp snap.
Taking in the scenery, said Aru quickly. It's really pretty, like you.
Madame B beamed her widest smile. She raised an eyebrow and flipped her hair over one shoulder.
I've collected beauty for years, so of course I'm beautiful, she said. Now sit down, why don't you? Who should I cut first?
Don't you mean whose hair should you cut first? Madame B tilted her head. Whatever light had been in the room dripped off the walls. Velvet shadows slid forward like snakes.
No.
She tossed her tray to the ground and lunged. Aru only just managed to dodge out of the way, dragging Minnie with her.
Oh, come now. Don't you know it's rude to play with food? Asked Madam B. I don't like being rude. Just stay still. Minnie and Aru ran. Aru skidded on the floor, nearly crashing into a chair. She righted herself, and her legs pumped beneath her. But no matter how hard she tried to get to the door, it seemed to loom farther and farther away. Aru glanced up to the mirrors on the ceiling. Where was the Asura? Her reflection didn't show in the mirrors. Maybe she disappeared, thought Aru for one bright moment. But then a cold feeling spread through Aru. A voice right behind her tickled her neck.
Come closer, darling child. I'm running low on beauty. You don't have much, but it'll be good for a bite or two, said Madam B.
Aru jumped and spun around, but Madam B disappeared with a pop and reappeared on another side of the room.
No use in hiding, she sang.
With every word, she disappeared and then reappeared closer and closer. Psst, hissed Minnie. Madam B was still cackling and spinning around in circles, or whatever it was Asuras did whenever they were gloating. There, shoved up against one wall, was a giant table covered with postcards, hairbrushes, and bottles upon bottles of hairspray. Minnie peered out from under it, and Aru scrambled after her. The Asura just laughed, strolling toward them as if she had all the time in the world.
Boo, help! Shouted Aru.
But if the pigeon could hear her, he didn't come.
Don't think I don't know exactly who you are, crooned the Asura. Little Pandavalings, it was very considerate of you to come all this way just so I can take your beauty. There's no use calling for your little feathered friend. He cannot enter my world, just like you cannot leave it.
Oh, gods, what do we do? Whispered Minnie, drawing her knees to her chest. How are my parents going to identify my body if I'm only ashes? All I have are dental records and... Minnie, the compact, hissed Aru. Maybe there's a reason Madam B surrounds herself with false mirrors, thought Aru. All that talk of beauty had given Aru an idea. She fumbled for the bright ping pong ball in her pant leg. Suddenly, Madam B crouched down. Her face appeared upside down.
Peek-a-boo,
she sang, her ghastly smile stretching wide. Aru faced the demon, ignoring the goosebumps crawling down her spine. I lied, she said. You're not that pretty. See? Minnie turned the compact mirror toward the Asura. The demon's face turned even paler. Her hair crackled and snapped, like she'd been electrified by the sight of her own ugliness.
No! The Asura screamed. That's not me! That's not me!
She writhed on the floor. Aru and Minnie scuttled backward. The golden ping pong ball warmed Aru's pocket. She drew it out and squinted. It glowed like a mini sun.
I'll get you, screeched the Asura.
Aru threw the ball straight at her face.
Not if you can't see us, shouted Aru.
The ball's light blinded Madam B, and she fell back.
My eyes! She howled.
A rosy golden glow filled the salon, and Aru had a strange vision of someone gathering up the first light of dawn in hundreds of buckets.
Cursed heavenly light, growled the Asura.
Huh, thought Aru. So that's what's in the ball. Maybe it wasn't so useless after all. Aru raised her hand, and the ball zoomed into her palm. Minnie was still holding up her compact, and when she saw the ball, she gasped. In Minnie's other hand, an identical golden orb appeared.
What the?
Started Aru. Minnie closed her fingers around the ball. It vanished. It was an illusion.
How did you do that? Asked Aru.
I don't know, said Minnie, confused. I just looked at the golden ball and thought about it, and then one appeared, but it wasn't real.
Where are you, Pandavas? Sang the Asura.
Both girls backed away slowly. The Asura was crawling, turning her head from side to side, scanning the room.
Aru's heart rate kicked up a notch. The demon's eyesight was returning.
Now what? Asked Minnie breathlessly. How are we going to steal the you-know-what? Something was nagging at Aru. Where was that persistent smell of smoke coming from? Where was the Asura burning things?
Show me the room again in your compact, said Aru.
Minnie turned the mirror toward them.
There was one detail Aru hadn't noticed before. The unenchanted view of the room hadn't changed, but Aru's eyes snagged on a detail. Handprints here and there. Handprints of ash. Maybe that smoky smell was coming from Madame B herself?
Something clicked inside Aru. Everything started to make sense. Even the name of the salon. B Asura. B Asura.
Aru lowered her voice to a whisper. I know who she is. She's Brahmasura. The Asura who could touch anyone and turn them to ash.
How is that comforting? Hissed Minnie.
Because we know how to defeat her.
We do?
We do, said Aru, this time more firmly. Keep the mirror in your hand. I think it doesn't just show what's an illusion. It can also make them.
Like it made the ball, said Minnie, catching on.
Just then, Brahmasura scuttled closer.
That was not very nice, children, she crooned. Don't you know demons find it extraordinarily rude to be smacked in the face with heavenly light? It reveals things.
Right before their eyes, Brahmasura's skin began to wrinkle and sag. Teeth fell out between her shrinking lips. Her nose lengthened to a snout, and a tusk grew on either side.
Aru almost gagged.
The Asura's head whipped in their direction. She licked her lips.
There you are, she said in her soft, lilting voice.
She crawled forward.
So you see the truth about me, don't you? Well, that's all right. I've always thought that women can see through illusions best.
Minnie's fingers closed tighter over the compact mirror. She was shaking. Aru grabbed her free hand.
Poor little Pandavalings.
Brahmasura laughed.
And you thought you could be heroes.
At this, Minnie's eyes narrowed.
It's actually heroines, she said. We're girls.
Madame B laughed. She crawled faster now, like some horrible, scuttling mutant spider.
Wait, Aru shouted. I wouldn't hurt us if I were you.
She went on breathlessly.
After all, you've lost something. Don't you want it back?
She nodded to Minnie. Sweat shone on Minnie's forehead. She reached into her jacket pocket and pulled out a twig with bright blue flowers. She leaned out as far as she could. The Asura's teeth showed. Minnie didn't flinch as she waved it in Brahmasura's face.
Madame B saw it and let out a shriek.
Where did you get that?
We stole it, said Aru.
You dropped it when you hit your head on the table.
Minnie stepped back slowly. On one of the salon tables, there was a blow dryer. Minnie snatched it quietly, gesturing wildly with one hand.
Can't hold on much longer, she mouthed.
Her fingertips were turning white from the effort of keeping up the illusion of the sprig of youth. Just one more second, thought Aru. Lightly, the Asura felt around her own head, careful to avoid touching it with her deadly hand. When the backs of her fingers brushed the true sprig of youth, she sneered.
You foolish little liars, said Madam B. The sleeper has been torn from his shackles. The rest of us may feast without fear. Did you really think you could—
Now, Minnie, shouted Aru. Minnie turned on the blow dryer. Brahmasura screamed as hot air gusted into her face. Her long, greasy hair whipped around, and the demon swatted at it, trying to brush it back without touching it. Minnie squeezed her eyes shut, ran forward, and hammered the blow dryer on top of the Asura's hand. The demon's palm landed with a loud thunk on her own scalp. A horrible shriek ripped through the air. Flames burst around Brahmasura's hand. Aru yanked Minnie out of the way. Immediately, the smell of something burning filled the place. Brightness flooded the room, and Aru covered her face. Her ears rang with the sound of Madam B's screams. When Aru could finally look, her eyes flew to Minnie, who was on her hands and knees searching the floor. Finally, she sat up, beaming triumphantly. It blew off! She proudly displayed something in her hand. The shining blue sprig of youth. The real one. Next to her, still pluming with smoke, was a pile of the demon's ashes. 12. Bring on the next demon. Wait, maybe not. Minnie held the sprig of youth at arm's length. Minnie, why are you holding it like that?
It's clearly a biohazard. What if it's contaminated? Asked Minnie. It's been in a demon's hair for who knows how long. How'd she even get it there if everything she touches turns to ash?
Aru thought of the hair products and jars in the salon. I think she could only burn living things with her touch.
You don't think this sprig is a living thing?
It's a key to the kingdom of death, said Aru. You can't kill death.
Hmm.
Now Minnie looked even more suspicious of the sprig.
What if holding it does something to me? Like make me young forever?
How's that a bad thing? Aru wouldn't mind never getting wrinkles. As a forever kid, she'd get to go to the front of the line all the time. And she could always get the kid discount at the ice cream place.
Look at me, said Minnie. I'd be stuck forever at 4 feet. That's scary.
Aru pulled a crumpled tissue from her pocket.
If you're worried about that, then use this so you don't have to touch the sprig of youth for too long.
Minnie eyed the tissue warily.
Is that used?
Yep.
Of course not. Then why are you carrying it in your pocket?
Aru lifted her chin.
British royalty always carry crumpled tissues with them. They call them handkerchiefs. I'm pretty sure...
4 feet forever? Asked Aru, dangling the tissue. Sighing, Minnie took the tissue and wrapped it around the branch. They cast one more glance at the ashes of Brahmasura as they walked to the door.
First demon slaying, said Aru, holding up her hand for a high five.
Minnie recoiled.
You really don't want to touch other people's hands. That's the fastest way to get a cold, or the flu, and if you're not vaccinated, you'll die.
Yeah, but you might not stay dead. I thought Brahmasura was killed a long time ago.
Maybe the souls of demons get to be reincarnated? Like us.
That was not a comforting thought. Aru lowered her hand. Nothing is more awkward than an unreciprocated high five, especially when too much time has gone by and you can't pretend that you were just stretching. Seeing Aru's disappointment, Minnie offered another suggestion.
How about an elbow bump instead? It's hygienic and fun.
Aru frowned.
You sound like one of those posters in the doctor's office.
I like those posters. They're informative and colorful.
Aru laughed.
All right, fine. The girls bumped elbows.
As soon as they stepped out the door, Aru was slammed with a sense of wrongness. Before they had entered Madame B's salon, the weather outside had been a little breezy and chilly. Now there was no wind at all, and the temperature felt downright icy. It had been afternoon when they arrived, but now it was nearing nighttime. The sky was the color of a bruise. Aru glanced across the parking lot to where a stunted tree had lost almost all of its leaves. One leaf was slowly spiraling to the ground. A little too slowly. From above, the flap of wings made Aru rear back and shout,
"Stay back, sleeper! I'm armed and dangerous!"
But then the winged thing turned out to be Boo.
"Reckless," he scolded. "Don't go about shouting his name."
He descended on them, muttering, pecking their hair and peering into their ears.
"What took you so long?" he demanded. "Excuse you, but we are thinking warriors," said Aru, smoothing her mangled pajamas with as much dignity as she could muster. "We had to plan. We had to analyze the situation. We had to scream, almost die, beat back a demon with a blow dryer," finished Minnie.
"Here is where you stop regaling me with tales of your ineptitude and surprise me?" asked Boo, hopefully.
Minnie waved the sprig of youth.
"One key down, two to go," she said. "Next up, bite of adulthood."
Aru wanted to grin, but her eyes kept going back to the tree in the parking lot. Her thin pajamas weren't doing much good keeping out the cold.
"I'm sure it was sheer luck that saved you," huffed Boo, ruffling his feathers.
Aru would have argued back, but she realized something. Boo cared.
"You like us," Aru teased. "You were concerned."
"Humph," snorted Boo. "If you died, that would have been a black mark on my reputation. So yes, at some base level, I was worried."
Aru's flash of triumph disappeared with his next words.
"And I have even more reason to worry. Did the Asura recognize you?"
Aru shuddered, remembering how Brahmasura had crooned Pandavalings. Minnie nodded.
"That's not good. Not good at all," said Boo, anxiously pecking at the ground. "The sleeper is trying to find allies. Show me the map of the second key."
Minnie held up her hand so that the book with flapping pages showed on the side.
"It's in the night bazaar," said Boo thoughtfully. "We just might be able to convince those arrogant seasons to give you some armor."
"The seasons?" repeated Minnie.
Boo ignored her question and continued talking to himself.
"This was far too close. It's even worse than I thought if the sleeper spoke to Brahmasura."
If he knew her, why didn't the sleeper just take the first key from Brahmasura? Asked Aru.
"He cannot see the keys. And Brahmasura never knew what the sprig really was. She probably just thought it was a magical bauble that kept her beautiful."
"Let me get this straight," said Minnie. "The sleeper can't see the keys, but he knows that we can, which means he could be after us right now."
That icy feeling Aru had wasn't just autumn turning sneakily into winter. It was him. In the parking lot, she saw the same shop girl who had been smoking before. Now she was hunched over her phone, staring, her mouth caught in a frown. She was frozen. Minnie? Boo?
What? Snapped